I had a great dad, and today's Father's Day. He loved to come up and be with me, and we'd go out to City Pond, and we'd go out there, and we'd catch those little crappie, about that large, about 50 or 60 of them. And he loved to just sit in the boat and just putter around in an electric motor, trolling for those little crappie. And he would just enjoy himself. He loved being with me. The roles were a little bit reversed. I was teaching my daddy how to fish. But it just reminds me of some of the moments that I had with Dad. He died in 99. Most of you, or many of you, knew him. He was a good man. And great dads are not only great dads, they are also wonderful granddads. And he was also a wonderful granddad. You know, fathers come in all sorts of dimensions. They come as of course, a birth father. And then there are father-in-laws. There are spiritual fathers. There are fathers that we will experience all through our lives. And it's Father's Day. And so we're here today. We're going to acknowledge that and then honor our fathers, because I think it's honoring them in all dimensions, not just our birth father. I know that's what the world does, but it's a time to honor not only our birth father or our father-in-laws or our grandfathers or our spiritual fathers, but it's also a day that we need to be honoring our heavenly Father. And so I want to weave that in. I want to weave all of this in together. And I want to show you a background that I'm going to be using today. It's a picture of my grandson and I. We were in Florida last September, and Bonnie took the picture. And it's a very meaningful picture to me because of what it all represented. It not only represented Jack and me being together, but also Bonnie was there. And I'll share a little bit more about that in the end of the message. But I just wanted you to see what we were using for a background today. And we're going to be talking about Father Day 2001, and the title is Breaking or Blessing a Father's Heart. Breaking or Blessing a Father's Heart. Have you ever noticed that Mother's Day seems to be more important than Father's Day? Have you ever noticed that there's like more emotion? There's, the moms walk in, they've got corsages on. Sheila's extremely busy on Mother's Day. Mothers are more evangelistic, I think, than dads as well, because churches are usually full on Mother's Day. And on Dad's Day, it's just not quite like that. We come, and sometimes the kids come, sometimes they don't, and it's just not as emotional. It just doesn't seem quite as important. And I think I kind of understand this a little bit, and I want to share with you a thought through a story that I read this week. This young couple had just had their first child, and the mother in the hospital room was missing her husband, so she began looking for him. And so she moseyed on gingerly to the nursery in the hospital, and there he was, peering through the glass. So she stood there for a few minutes watching him, and knew he was captivated in looking through that glass, looking into that nursery. So she eased up on him and stuck her arm through his arm, and she looked at him. She says, "Honey, what are you thinking about?" And he said, "I'm thinking, how in the world did they make that crib for $89.95? Now, the point is this. If a mom was looking, she's looking at the baby. She's in love mode. But when a dad's looking, a dad is looking at what's around the baby, what's protecting the baby. And when something happens to our children, dads go in kill mode. They go into protect mode. And we come at things from a different perspective than moms do. Mom are looking at the baby. Moms are looking at the baby. Dads are looking at making sure this baby is safe, that my child is safe, that my teenager is safe, that my daughter or my son is safe when they're married. You never stop being a dad In fact, you become a granddad and it starts all over again. And you're looking at what's around them and not just them. So I want to take today and honor the dads. I'm glad it's Father's Day. And I really want to take time and honor those people, those dads, us, who really make a family work. I'm really kidding, ladies. I know who makes the family work. But I want to take a time and honor the dads. My children know who make our family work. But I do get to help making sure that the crib is made right. And that's my part. I want to stand and I want to read our scripture lesson today, and then we'll pray and then we'll start up. So if you will, just stand with me. It's a very familiar passage of scripture, and I think you'll see where I'm going quickly. It's in Luke chapter 15, verse 11. So read it, if you will, out loud with me, and then we'll pray, and then we'll see what the Lord has to say. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance and with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let's eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Father, I thank you for my birth father. Father, I thank you for my spiritual father. I thank you for my father-in-law. I thank you for my grandfathers. But Lord, most of all, I thank you for being my father. And I thank you for blessing my life and orchestrating it as you have. And I thank you, Lord, that you like to have parties with me. I thank you, Lord, that you have blessed my life, that it seems to be a continuous party. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, now we ask for your anointing. Father, I pray that the people will be able to hear what the Spirit has to say. Father, I pray I'll be blessed, that I'll be able to share this wonderful word on this wonderful Father's Day, and ask you to help us all. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Be seated. Of course, that's the passage of the prodigal son. What I want to draw from it is the way the father's heart was broken. I'll show you three ways that it was broken, and then I want to show you three ways that it was healed or blessed. When we're blessed, when fathers are blessed, there's a healing that takes place. And I want to make certain that we see these things. So the first thing I want to talk about is breaking a father's heart. And the first thing I want us to see is that there was an attitude problem. There was an attitude problem. The thing that broke the father's heart initially was the child's attitude. In Luke 15:12 it says, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. The younger son said, I want what's mine. Give me. Now, the father obviously didn't have a problem here. Obviously, this son, this younger son, had been a fellow laborer, a co-laborer with his dad and with his older brother, and they had labored together. So the father didn't have a problem in giving his son what he was asking him. And I think that the emphasis of the Lord here is not that the child should be given to by the father. But the emphasis of the Lord, as he told this parable, as he told it to the Pharisees, was his attitude. Give me. I'm tired of waiting. Give it to me and give it to me now. He had an attitude problem. Give me. If you want to break your dad's heart, develop a give me attitude. Dads love to give, but sometimes dads feel like that's all we're there for. Sometimes dads feel like I'm not really loved. I'm not even really wanted. All they want from me is for me to give. All they want from me is to pay the bills and to provide the food and to buy the clothes. I'm really not wanted. And if you want to break your dad's heart, have that kind of an attitude. And the second thing I see in this attitude situation is, I don't need you. The Bible says there in the verse that he took his all that he got, he put it all together, and he took his journey. And he went to a far country. He didn't need his dad. He took all that he had been given, and he went into a far country. He says, Dad, I don't even want to be around you. I don't need you. I don't want to be in the same town with you. I don't even want to be around you. Now, if you want to break your dad's heart, have an attitude that you don't want him around. Have an attitude when he tries to spend time with you that you'd rather be in your room or be away from him. Have an attitude that you want to get away from your dad. That'll break his heart. And then the third thing I saw in this kid's attitude problem was he was not caring about his dad's feelings. Give me now. He packed it all up and he took his journey and he didn't care how it hurt dad. He didn't care that he was really damaging his dad's heart. He was breaking his dad's heart. If you really want to break your dad's heart, don't care how he feels. Tell him you hate him when you get mad at him. Tell him, I don't want you, I don't want you around, just give me, and let me get away from you, and I don't care if it hurts you or not, because after all, you brought me into this world, I didn't ask to come. Project that attitude, give me, I don't want to be around you, and I don't care if I hurt you. That'll break his heart. How many has ever done that at some point in time, from the time you were a little kid or the time you are now, that somewhere along the way you broke your dad's heart? You had an attitude problem, and you knew you did, but you didn't care. Did you ever do that? Raise your hand if maybe somewhere along the way, maybe you hurt your dad's heart. Okay, I did that. And I knew I was breaking his heart, and I knew I was hurting him, but it just didn't matter. I want to tell you something. Life has a way of bringing you to a place where you'll repent from that because things won't go well with you. But the story is not told specifically about dads like us. It's specifically told as Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and telling them how Father God really is. So in reality, it's the story about how Father feels towards you and I. It's the story how Father God, our Heavenly Father, really feel about those that have left and gotten far away from Him or those that are lost from Him. You see, in reality, if I really, really, really were to get into it, we've all strayed from God, even the lost. We were all at one time His in Adam. But because Adam failed, then what happened is we went away from Him. And some of us have tried to come back. And we, like this prodigal, though, have at some point or the other drifted back away from Him. We've hurt Him. We've done some things sometimes that hurts Father God's heart. So if you really want to hurt Father God's heart, have an attitude. Just give me. Bless me, Lord. Bless me right now. While you bless me, just bless me real good. There's nothing wrong. Does He want to bless you? Sure. And especially if you're laboring with Him. There's nothing wrong with the blessings of God. But if you have that attitude that you really don't want to spend time with Him, we'll pray that prayer when things are getting tight and bad in our lives anyway. You know, bless me, God. Bless me really good. Bless me right now. But then when it comes time for prayer night, or when it comes time to come and praise Him and lift our hands and worship Him, or when it comes time to read the Bible or to come to church, we find ourselves sometimes in another world, another place, far from God. We find ourselves distant from Him. That'll break His heart. We have this attitude. Just give it to me, but I don't want to be around you. Just give it to me, and I'll take my leave, and I'll go into my far country, and I'll live my little life over here with the pigs. Just give it to me, and I don't care. See, we have this attitude that it really doesn't hurt God. We have this attitude that He doesn't mind if we don't want to be with Him. He understands that I'm busy. He understands. It doesn't hurt His heart. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It breaks His heart. Just like it would break your earthly father's heart if you have this attitude towards Him. It breaks our heavenly Father's heart if we don't want to be with Him. So the first thing is the guy had an attitude problem. And I saw that. And then the second thing I saw was that he was wasteful. He was wasteful. And the Bible says, and there wasted his substance and with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. He wasted what he had gotten. And found himself in want. In other words, he found himself needing. He found himself in debt. See, we take the blessings of God sometimes in our lives, and we squander them, we waste them, and we look around and we find ourselves in debt. We find ourselves wasting what God has blessed us with. Dads love to give. We love to give. And what we want back is for our children just to appreciate it. We don't expect them to pay us back, but we do expect them to appreciate it. You know, dads don't need much, but we do need you to appreciate what we've done for you. That's all we care about. In fact, if you'll appreciate what we do or what we give you, it's like giving candy to a baby. And a baby wants more candy. And dads want more appreciation, so they'll do more. So if we want more appreciation from God, more from God, then what we do is we appreciate what God's done for us more. But if you don't appreciate what Father God does for us, and if you don't appreciate what your natural father does for you, He'll shut down. He'll shut down, and you'll find yourself in want. If we waste what He gives us, we'll find ourselves just asking, Lord, I've got to have more because I've wasted what You've given me. So I've got to have more now, so bless me more. So if you want to break your dad's heart, don't appreciate what he's done. Don't appreciate that car. Don't appreciate those nice clothes. Don't appreciate that college education. Don't appreciate it. That'll break his heart. And it's that way with Father God. Honestly, now hear me. Many Christians, I could nearly say most, but many Christians are terrible stewards of what God's given to us. Now, somebody say something. Help me just a little bit here. If you really understand Christianity and you're around a lot of Christians, you know that most Christians are in debt, in deep debt. Most Christians are in all sorts of screwed up lives. And we haven't taken what God's blessed us with and been good stewards of it. And we find ourselves in want. And oftentimes, eating the husk that should be fed to pigs. Not living the abundant life like Jesus Christ came to give us. Want to break Father God's heart? Waste what He's already given you. Don't appreciate what He's done for your life. Let me ask you this. How many believers, actually how many in this room, really appreciate the greatest gift ever given to mankind, Jesus Christ? How many of them really appreciate it? Oh, yeah. We're going to go to heaven when we die. But do you appreciate that gift? Do most Christians really appreciate it? Do we really come in here with an attitude of appreciation and thankfulness, with joy and worship and praising and honor Him? Do we really appreciate our gift of salvation? Why do we have to make ourselves come to church? Why do we have to make ourselves worship? Why do we have to make ourselves give? It's some hard thing to do. And it's simply because we don't appreciate what He has already done for us. You want to break His heart? Don't appreciate His Son. Don't appreciate Jesus. That'll break His heart. The third thing that I saw, he had a riotous living. He had a lifestyle situation. His lifestyle wasn't good. In Luke 15:13, it says, "And there wasted his substance with riotous living." Now, we're not told exactly what riotous living would include. We're not told what this would mean. And I think that's intentional, because riotous living has a great expanse. It can be anything from spending and wasting all the money that was given to him to living a life of immorality. It could be anything in between. It could be doing drugs. It could be doing alcohol. It could be anything, but it's a lifestyle situation. What fathers want to do when we look at our children is we want to see them living a great lifestyle. We want to see them blessed. We want to see them happy. We want to see them moral. I have a person in mind. She was married at a very young age and had two beautiful children. And then she and her husband divorced. And she became very immoral. Running around with all kinds of men, usually more than one at a time. She did drugs, she did alcohol. And one day her father caught her in the very act. And it broke his heart. And his thing was this: what have I done wrong? What did I do that I shouldn't have done? Because you see, she really wasn't raised that way. She decided to go that way. And a lot of times that's what happens in our lives. I remember one time when it was in my BC days. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean when I say in my BC days? Before Christ days, I was not serving the Lord. I was lost as a goose, or in wherever a goose gets lost at. You know, my directions was all goofed up, and I was at my dad's house, and Judy and I were having marital problems, and as normal, it was me causing the problem, and there I was, and I was telling my dad about this situation, and it was obvious that I had broken his heart, and he said, "Delbert Ray," what he called me, because that's my name. He said, "Delbert Ray, you get your life," except he didn't say life. He says, "You get your home where you belong, and you get yourself straightened out, boy." I had broken Daddy's heart. He could not imagine me not being at home and not being with my family. And it was literally breaking his heart. But nothing made him happier than when I went back home. Dads, we look at our children and we want to see them blessed. We want to see their lifestyle good. How do you think it makes Father God feel when we goof up, when we screw up, when we do stupid things? How do you think it makes Him feel? Does it break His heart? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And so you see, wouldn't have just broken my dad's heart. It would have broken my father's in heaven's heart. It would have broken my father-in-law's heart. It would have broken my spiritual father. And all, you know, what we do affects so many people. You want to break your dad's heart? Have a screwed up lifestyle. You want to break your heavenly father's heart? Don't obey his commandments. Have a screwed up lifestyle. And then I want to move now into the blessing. I want to talk about how we bless God's heart, and how we bless our natural father's heart, our father-in-law's heart, our spiritual father's heart. However, whatever father that you're talking about, these are the things that will bless them. Three things that I see here as this kid came home that really blessed him. I want to talk about this one. The first one is that he came to himself. In other words, he straightened his attitude out. He came to himself. Luke 15:17 says, "And when he came to himself, he said..." How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise, go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Nothing will bless a dad's heart more than when a child comes to himself or when a child comes to herself. Nothing. Nothing. This is such a great thing. All of a sudden, he's saying, I need you, Dad. All of a sudden, he says, I appreciate you, Dad. All of a sudden, he's saying, I want to hang out with you, Dad. All of a sudden, he's saying, I'm sorry I hurt you, Dad. He's adjusted that attitude. And it blessed Dad's heart. Now, perhaps some of you have slipped away from Dad. Perhaps some of you have spiritually separated from your Heavenly Father. And right now, I've said some things that maybe, hopefully, you're coming to yourself. Maybe you need to come to yourself today and make things right with your earthly dad or your father-in-law or your spiritual father or your heavenly father. Maybe something's happened. You've had an attitude problem. Maybe something's happened and he didn't want to be with you. Father wants you to come home. It always amazed me as I read this parable, the father's response to the son as he came home. We'll read that now in just a second. I want to talk about it, but I want you to know that if for example, you are having a distant relationship with a heavenly father or a natural father or some father figure in your life, if there's a problem, I want you to realize that this could possibly be why things are not going well with you. I want you to consider what I'm saying. How are things in your life going? What are you eating? Are you at the banquet table that you can have with Father? Or are you eating the husk of pigs? How are things going in your life? Because if they're not going well, it's quite possible it's because you're not honoring a father figure. Let me show you what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2. It says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that, here's why you honor them, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Please notice that it's not just have a long life on the earth, but it's enjoy a long life on the earth. Amen. A lot of people live a long time, but they live a hell of a life. I want you to know that you can live with Jesus Christ and have an enjoyable life. Amen. Not just live long, that's good, considering the options, right? But you can enjoy it. Things will go well with us. And so if you're distant from Heavenly Father or Earthly Father, go home. Amen. Go home. Things should be going well with you. I want you to hear the Father say to you today, come home. Come home today. Come home. The second thing I saw was respect. When a father receives respect, again, we don't need much, but we've got to have respect. In Luke 15:19, it says, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He left with an attitude. He left with this, I don't need you attitude. All you're here for is to give me. I don't want you around my life. And I don't care if I hurt you. But he came back with an attitude of let me serve you. Let me be a blessing to you. It was such a wonderful thing for me with my dad. The last year or so of his life, I got to keep him. I got to serve him. Judy makes these great suppers and Daddy would be in the living room sitting in his chair. And I would get to. Now, at the time, I might not have been looking at it as getting to. But I look at it now as I got to take him his supper every day. I got to serve Daddy. I got to clip his toenails. And that was a job. suckers were that thick. I'm not kidding. I got to bathe him or get him bathed. I got to serve him. And you have to admit, folks, things go pretty well with me. You have to admit, folks, I am a blessed guy. Amen. I got to serve him. Let me be your servant. If you want to bless your dad, serve him. Do something for him. Let him know he's special. Now, let's put this in the spiritual dimension. How does Father God like it when you serve him? Whenever, whatever that it is that you're called to do, that you do it with all your might and you serve him. How does he feel when you make time to come to church, make time to come and praise him and honor him? And when you come in here, you're ready to serve him and serve the body. How does that make him feel? You know, we get out of that attitude of bless me, and I'm going to get away from you. And we start serving him. We come into the house of God with a servant's attitude. Oh, man. You know what he's going to say? Let's have a party. Amen. I love this. I love this, he says. And he won't lock down on you and stop blessings from coming. Right. Well, he'll look us for new ways to bless you. Amen. More ways. Wow, this is like giving God candy. You know, just saying this, and I want to say it correctly. So hear my heart. We can make time for baseball games. Is there anything wrong with baseball games?
No.
Let me use another one. We can make time for fishing. Nothing's wrong with fishing. Baseball games, working in the yard, going shopping. We can make time for anything we want to do, taking trips and going on vacations. But sometimes we have a difficult time making time for him. And when it comes time to be at church or to pray or to come in for a Bible study or to really come and honor him and be with him, we find ourselves in another world. I'm hoping today we're coming to ourselves. I'm hoping today we're seeing how to bless God's heart. Because if this works in the natural, it's first the natural and then the spiritual. If we understand how to bless our natural father's heart, I'm telling you today how to bless your spiritual father's heart. He loves it. He loves it. And then the third thing, and then we're done, is hang out. He just liked to hang out. Hang out with Dad. Luke 15:22 says, "But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." Dads love their kids to hang out with them. I mean, they just love it. It's like the ultimate when kids want to be with their dad. Which brings me now to what I want to say about the picture that I showed you. You see, kids love to be with Dad, and Father Dad, our Heavenly Father, loves to be with us. In fact, Father God, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but Father God is a party animal. I'm going to rephrase that just to get my point. Father God is a party man. He loves to party. And every time somebody comes home, guess what he does? He has a party. Every time a backslider comes home, what does he do? He has a party. Every time a lost person gets saved, what does he do? He has a party. So he's just having parties all the time. We were in Florida this past September on our vacation. And I was fishing every day. And Bonnie knew how much I wanted to get Jack out in my boat. But I knew I couldn't take Jack without Bonnie. And I wanted to take Jack fishing, and I wanted to take Jack for a boat ride. Well, one day Bonnie made that possible, and she brought Jack, and Jack and I got into my boat, and we went fishing, and we rode around, and Jack drove my boat. He had to steer it, or he thought he was, and Bonnie captured it with a picture. So they just wanted to hang out with me. They just wanted to be there for me. Just do this for Dad. And I'm telling you, this is how the Heavenly Father feels. When you just want to be with Him, and you want to capture that moment, and you just want to live it over and over and over again, I'm telling you, it blesses His heart. It makes Him so happy. Nothing is as fulfilling is when you just want to hang out with your Dad. Nothing is more fulfilling to Father God than just wanting to hang out with Him. Be with Him in times of praise. Be with Him in times of worship. Be with Him in times of prayer. Be with Him in the Word of God as you read it. Be with Him in the house of God as we come here corporately to worship Him. He loves it when you just want to be with Him.
Amen.
And He'll throw you the biggest party. He'll bless your life. Rings and clothes and shoes and robes and anything you want. Food, oh my goodness, He'll bless you. Just stay away from that attitude. Stay away from not caring how He feels. Stay away from wasting what He's given you. Work on being with Him. Work on loving Him. Work on having the right attitude. And I promise you, there's a blessing for you because He wants to throw you a party. Thank God for dads. And thank you, Father, for being our dad. Amen. Amen. God loves you. God loves us. And He desires to bless us. So it's breaking and blessing a father's heart. Let's pray.